This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday, last day of November. Matt, Brett here. Brett, Matt McNeil, now with 100% more turkey in them than when I left. Yes.
Oh, me too.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I did. We did it all socially distanced and remote, so yep.
Oh, good for you. Was it family? Was it a get-together like that?
No, there was no get-together at all. It was all over Zoom.
Oh, you did it on Zoom.
Yeah, and then we did drive-bys with the different things that you would have typically at Thanksgiving dinner.
Okay, and yeah. So you brought food to others?
They brought food to me, and then, some other stuff I brought over
nice.
To them.
Nice. Yeah. Well, good for you. We didn't really Zoom anyone because we haven't had a big McNeil family with – I'm the youngest of seven – so it's not like, we've done that every year. I did FaceTime, over dessert, my brother and my mother down in South Carolina and talked to them a little bit where they're complaining about 75 degrees. Yeah, whatever. All right. It's so cold. I can't believe she went swimming today. Well, what's the temperature? 74? That's summer here. I mean, for God's sakes. Anyway, no, we did that. What we did is we made up a whole bunch of food. We ate early, and then we dropped some off at neighbors that didn't have one. I had one neighbor we dropped it off, and I could tell he was like, "Oh, I'm so looking forward to this." I'm like, "Great, good, I'm glad." You know, although to give the Onion credit, the satirical newspaper, their post where they said, you know, man where his Thanksgiving, where he's high as a kite eating Taco Bell, has best Thanksgiving he's ever had. You know, I think, yeah, okay. We did go on out. I did get out twice. I decided, you know, it is the time of year. We used to go up to the 8th floor of Dayton's Marshall Field's Macy's downtown and see the Holiday Village they did every year. Which was just, and I'm not alone. A lot of people did that. It was free. You went up there singing Christmas trees. It was just great. And it is truly tragic that that is gone. I am just beyond, I can't comprehend how Macy's didn't just find some place to install that and just have that every year. But, you know, what you're going to do, profit margins, crap like that. So I go on out, and we've tried for years to try to find something that, ever since they shut that down, to replace that. And it's a little touch and go. Your best bet is to go out and try to find some holiday decorations. So I went through downtown Hopkins. You know, I live in Hopkins, so I went over and we walked around a little bit and saw they got the nice decorations on Main Street there. And the antique stores in Hopkins all have some of their classic, historic Christmas signage, displays, Santas, stuff like that. That was nice. Yesterday, I decided, okay, if we go early enough, could we get to the Mall of America and get out of there before it got busy? And so we came up with a game plan. Face masks, all this social distancing. We'd walk in. If we didn't feel safe, then we'd immediately turn around and leave. We walked in. It was fine. I took some really nice photos, some very good holiday decor in there. They always do a great job. It was nice to walk around. It was you know what the most heartbreaking thing was? Was we were up on the second floor. I was looking down into Nickelodeon Universe. That's what it is.
Camp Snoopy.
Camp Snoopy, yeah. Looking at Camp Snoopy Part 2, Electric Boogaloo. I was looking out there. And they actually had set up the Christmas decorations throughout the park, and now it's shut down. It's one of those things that got shut down with everything else. And so it's kind of like, there's a kind of an eerie, kind of sad feeling about when you look down on that. It's the right thing to do, people. Oh, trust me. It's the right thing to do. But it is a little bit eerie. I was looking down. I saw the Mr. Krabs decoration, and it's like he looks so lonely down there. No rides, no kids. But I will say, first of all, I'm a big fan of how the Mall of America brings people into this town. It is insane. A big mall. I was one of the people, I've said the story numerous times. I said, great, we've got the Dales. What do you mean you're going to build a big mall and going to bring people in? I was wrong. It is a tourist attraction, undeniably. And hopefully it survives the best it can as it goes through this trying time like the rest of us do. They have done everything, I think, in their power to keep that place as clean as it can be. I mean, that place is immaculate. Right now, the Mall of America is as clean as I've ever seen it. It is immaculate. On top of that, hand sanitizers, reminders everywhere to social distance. And they had these friendly people who were kind of reminding people to wear masks and stuff like that. Now, there are plenty of signage when you come in that you cannot, you have to be wearing a mask. And wearing a mask properly. They actually have photos. It doesn't go on your chin. It doesn't go below your nose.
The old chin mask.
It goes across the whole thing. You have to wear your mask like this or you have to leave. There was one guy I saw. We were down on the first floor. He was up on the second or the third floor, and he wasn't wearing a mask. And I don't know if anyone ever caught up with him. But the one that I did see that was closer was a guy was coming down. He had the mask under his nose, so he wasn't wearing it right. So you're an idiot. And I don't have any problem calling. You're a moron. I mean, you put it over your freaking nose. People. Anyway, so the guy's not wearing it. As he walked towards, there's a guy. This is always in one of the corners of the mall. You know how it's a big, big box, right? Basically a mile around on the first floor, second floor, third floor. It's in one of the corners. And guy walks up. He's walking towards one of the friendly, helpful Mall of America people who are there. Sees the guy, quickly gets his face mask over his nose. And the guy kind of, I think, saw him and is like, reminder, everyone needs to wear their mask. Thank you very much. Guy walks right past him, immediately pulls his face mask down. That dude went over to him and said, sir, I am sorry. You do need to wear your face mask or else you do need to leave the Mall of America. And for a split second, I was like grabbing my cell phone, like, is this my moment? Is this my TMZ moment? Nutso guy goes cray cray over at Mall of America. I thought for a second he might. He said, sorry, put it back on. And that guy watched him, and I watched him too. And he kept it on. He went down and finally went into a store, I think, to get everyone to stop watching him. But it was for a second there, I thought he was going to, I have a right to never have to do this. You have mildly inconvenienced me in the efforts to try to save as many people as possible. How dare you? You know, one of those things.
My favorite ones are when they have a health condition that prevents them from wearing a mask.
Well, then, because you're a real idiot and don't understand that coronavirus. I'm going to guess it's you're an idiot. I mean, is that the condition? Is that the health problem you have? You're a moron? I didn't know if that was the case. Anyway, I'm going to make sure I'll post up some of the pictures from Mall of America because it's nice to get a little holiday color out there. I also, if I can say, since it is, we're talking holiday color here, a reminder, the White House, Melania, has put up some White House Christmas decorations this year. And they don't look like they came from, Black Christmas, for God's sakes, where it's just this, horror movie set Christmas decorations.
No more Tim Burton themed Christmas.
Oh, my God.
I remember that.
Never want to go to Christmas in Eastern Europe, okay? I'm just going to say, now we bleed the children. What? No, we don't need to. What kind of Christmas celebration you have here, Vlad? She put it up. It doesn't look bad. It's like I said, there's a picture of her standing down a hallway with a bunch of greens, and as I made the comment, I said, well, that's basically the only way she can keep Trump away from him by surrounding herself with greens. But anyway, it looks nice, but I do want to remind, it's a great reminder. People, everyone listening, you can never, ever, ever allow people to try to skip past the Trump administration because there are a lot of Christians who really want you to forget that Melania Trump is on tape saying, I will read this verbatim. Where I am, I'm working like a ass. My ass off at Christmas stuff that, you know, who gives an F? And she didn't say F. Who gives an F about Christmas stuff and decoration? But I need to do it, right? Now, before anyone has to point out, if any Republican, if any Democratic first lady, if Michelle Obama or, you know, Jill Biden, Dr. Jill Biden, were to have said anything like this, if Hillary would have said anything like this, oh my God, can you imagine the outcry? What do you mean, blank about Christmas stuff? There would be, Republicans would be beat face red on Fox and OAN and Newsmax screaming about, I can't believe she's an atheist. It's an atheist. We have to get her out. The president should resign immediately. And she said this, and not a single one of them said anything at all. They didn't say anything at all. Not a thing. There was no social media post. There was no, hey, you know, guys, I like Trump, but come on, that's unacceptable. Nothing, nothing. All those priests and pastors and chaplains that support Trump, not a single one of them came on out and said, I can't believe she would ever say anything so heinous, especially on one of the most important holidays of the Christian calendar. You know, Easter would probably be definitely the most important one, but I mean, Christmas is a huge holiday for the Christian faith. How dare she say so? Nothing. Not a thing. Not a thing. So the next time your friends, your conservative friends, they try to with Dr., you know, Jill Biden or any Democrat talk about how dare they disrespect Christmas, you can say to them, hey, I got one for you. You remember when Melania basically said blank Christmas? Because I do. And she said it on tape. So, yeah. And you never got bothered by that. So you can shut up now because your outrage is bipolar. And I don't have any time for bipolar outrage. Just make sure, throw it back in their face. I mean, my God, Trump, this weekend, was it true this weekend? He surpassed a full year of golfing while in the White House. He has been on a golf course for one day for 365 days for an entire freaking year, for one whole year of a four-year term. He has been golfing. Do you remember when Republicans used to be outraged? Remember when they used to be outraged about Barack Obama's golfing? Oh, my God. Oh, he's always at the golf course. He didn't spend a quarter of his time at the golf course. You can say anything you like. Throw it back in their face. It will be delicious. And you want to know the truth is, the reason why they'll say, oh, look at you bringing up that. Oh, that's not true. That's a fly. You know what? No, it's not. It's very true. And until you condemn that, I'm not going to listen to a damn thing you have to say about your outrage. Please. Oh, it is a Christmas gift that you like to keep giving. Brad is in Robbinsdale. Let's take his call before we get into the break. Welcome on in, Brad. Thanks for holding.
Okay. Well, again, before Joe Biden moves into the White House, and because of the Trump virus, I think, first of all, we need to have a complete sanitation of the White House. And I know that both you and Joe Biden are devout Catholics, so I think an exorcism would be appropriate as well.
Well, I think, frankly, I think the holiday decorations Melania put up there ran off any demons. I'm just going to be honest with you. My God. Brad, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. I don't know about you, but your standard seventh circle of hell demon would probably go in there. It's like, why are all the Christmas trees red? It's scary as heck in here. My God, I'm out of here. You know what you're going to have to, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, the two biggest things, or three biggest things you're going to have to get out of that White House. 1, ants. 2, rats. 3, stench. Those three things. Can you imagine the amount of Febreze you're going to have to use in that place? Why does everything smell like a sweaty cheeseburger? Ugh.
Oh, you're going to find like old chicken nuggets on the
you
floor.
You are. And... you're going to like pull up the couch and then I was like, who put the sauce packets in here? It's like a chalupa kind of propping up the Lincoln portrait. Oh, can you imagine? I mean, I'm dead serious too. They're clearly the way this guy eats and the way he treats the White House. You're going to have to treat for ants, rats, and stench. Merry Christmas. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Guess who I got to talk with this weekend? He's a certain Senate Majority Leader, and he might have been the lead singer for Midnight Oil. I'm not sure, but I'll share in just a moment. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So, I got a little bit of an early Christmas gift. I'm gonna be blunt. All right, I'm a talking chimp here. Okay, I really am. I'm on the low bar as far as engagement in regards to changing social policy. I bring up things that are outrage. I hope that I bring up things that, you know, make sense. And, you know, if that gets you thinking about what you can do, how you can help, I'm glad to help out. But I'm a trained chimp here. And so as I say that, it's sometimes funny that I do actually interact occasionally with Republicans who will try to kind of get a zinger in. Yeah, zinger. Get me, you know? Now, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but I do this for a living, okay? And I've actually had that where I've gone to someone's house and we're sitting around and here you're a liberal talk show host. I'm like, dude, I can talk twins all day long. Seriously, I could talk twins all day long. Harmon Killebrew. How great of a baseball player was he? I can talk about him all day long. Do you really want to talk with politics with a guy who's been basically throwing fastballs for the last 20 years? You want to do this? Usually that scares him off. There are people like, you know, the war eagle Sheila Kinney. You know, she wants to just try to elevate her profile. So I kind of just block them and ignore them. Not because they make good points, because there's no point in talking to them. But every once in a while, a Republican will just feel like I got to take a swipe. So I posted on Saturday. This is at Saturday at 5 in the evening. Okay. The Republican Party of Minnesota can't win without the Twin City suburbs, who vote more often with Minneapolis-St. Paul. Now, Republicans could open up to a more welcoming message, and I've talked about this. I talked about this during the election, that the Republicans, what their entire message is they go to the most extreme far-right county in the state, and then basically they take that platform and push it on everyone else. Well, it doesn't really work in the Twin Cities, nor in the Twin City suburbs, not anymore. So that's my point. I mean, they could be more welcoming, actually have some solutions, but no. I go on with my post here. Nope. Prepare for Jennifer Carnahan, Senator Kual, Gazelka Kurtout, and a crew to run with Lookout Black people and minorities for the next 2 years, because they got to basically scare the suburbs into voting for them. And so that's clearly what their entire motivation is going to be. So now I want to make sure I said, look out, Black people and minorities. That's how the term I used in this to create this is what I presume is going to be the Republicans' talking point. Senator Paul Gazelka decided to respond. And he responded that evening. I didn't see this till Sunday morning. But this was his response. I'm going to read this verbatim. Paul Gazelka commenting on my Facebook feed. Oh, I'm sorry. Cleanse the palate a little bit. This is Senator Paul Gazelka. 40% of Latinos voted for Trump. Why? More economic opportunities under GOP policies. We also have solutions for failing urban schools. Many are tired of the same DFL song and dance with no results. Okay. Now, I didn't really touch on the schools issue, but we already know what the Republican policy for education is. It's for-profit education, which, once again, if you'd factor in voucher programs for private schools or charter schools, the reality is that at most they can service about 10 to 15% of the standard public school district's population. Henceforth, you basically just purge the budget from a public school to give to private companies, but then you still have 85% of that school still in place having to learn an education. And so then you treat voucher programs and charter schools as some sort of lottery experience. Well, maybe you can get in. That's a crap system. I didn't really touch on that. But I did. I'm going to read this as I wrote this. It's been about 10 minutes, and I'm quite proud of this. Senator Paul Gazelka, it's unfortunate I have to point this out to you, but 40% is still a minority of voters. Dude, you can't put the ball on the tee like that for me. Well, good. You got 40%. Gee willikers, that only means 60% didn't vote for you. Your math sucks. Anyway, back to my response. Ha, 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 ha. This is your grand rebuttal? You do nothing to help the cities outside of insult them, conspire with Bob Kroll and race bait, and then act as if you're the grand master of solutions. Where are your solutions, Senate Majority Leader? What are you willing to do, Paul, to stop black people from being gunned down by the police? What are you willing to do to stop the economic and societal discrepancies in the system which hold blacks and minority groups back? And no, Paul, another millionaire, billionaire tax cut will not help them. You can't even keep your own base, white rural voters, safe as COVID runs rampant in GOP districts, encouraged by your party's calls for no face mask mandates, schools to be open, and social distancing as a personal option. You can't even keep your own Senate safe without letting partisan politics control your every decision. Do not try to lecture me on who is and who is not working for the people of Minnesota. You are the problem, Paul. I will continue to back Governor Tim Walz, Senator Susan Kent, and Speaker of the House Melissa Hortman over your broken and worthless ideas. One final point. I do hope you heal from coronavirus, Senator. Over 3,500 Minnesotans haven't. The greatest generation and the baby boomers deserve better. When you do feel better, go do your damn job. Bon appetit. I have not gotten a response back from him. I don't know. He has not come back on that. I don't know why. Outside of I probably verbally wounded him pretty bad. But dude, no. We have seen your entire party's platform. Black people in Minneapolis are out of control. They wanted to fund cops. It's anarchy. It's anarchy. That's your entire argument. And you don't offer solutions. You just offer anger and not just you, but the entire party puts out these narratives of just you better vote against them. If you vote for Democrat, you're voting for that. You better vote for us because we're not that. And that's your entire argument. Dude, you need to do your damn job. And you suck at doing your job. I just want to let you know, Paul, you suck at doing your job. Everything about you is politics. You do not care about Minnesotans. You could care less about the black population of Minneapolis, St. Paul. You do not care about them. And that's not me saying that just out of blue. I've seen your policies. You are the Senate Majority Leader. You can drive the agenda. And your agenda doesn't exist. And even on this, I brought up black people. And what did you say? Latinos. And they still don't vote for you in a majority. You love the Minneapolis-St. Paul tax dollars we have to send into your district to help cover your tax-based costs because you can't raise enough money to keep your societies going out there. So you need the Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area to tax subsidize your district. You love us for that, but you won't do anything else to help us out. I'm tired of it. And I'm to a point shocked you would even try to engage in this, not because you have a point to say, but my God, you have been such a failure. This took me 10 minutes, and I just wrote it verbatim. Just off the top of my head, it was easy to take you down and your party down. And Paul, I still need an answer of what the hell you and Bob Kroll were talking about when we had the problems after the George Floyd murder. What were you doing with him? Was there some sort of attempt to overthrow the governor here and install you as the new governor? It sounds like that was kind of a plan in place. It sounds like it. You haven't never answered that question. Sounds like you tried to usurp the governor. You try to install yourself as governor. That's what it sounds like. And you haven't answered what the hell was going on there. Even yourself that night was on all of these TV channels in town talking about, we're in touch with the White House. We're in touch with the White House. What for? The governor is in charge. You need to explain that. Paul, you need to do a better job at being the Senate Majority Leader and stop playing political games. Hey, you can be a conservative. You want to be a conservative? Fine. But don't play this game like you actually care about the people of Minneapolis-St. Paul. Your policies and your party have shown that there is very little concern. And I was out in rural Minnesota a lot this year. And I was out there and I saw what you guys were campaigning on. It wasn't about helping all Minnesotans. It's like, keep those city people in line. We're going to teach them a lesson. Keep your nose out of our business. We need to put the authority in there. We need to put those people in line. That's what your argument was. I saw it across rural Minnesota. You need to fix your own damn problems, sir. You surely do. I will say, though, I was wrong about one thing, and I do want to make sure I mention this. I definitely, over the last 2-3 years, said if we got to this election, my biggest concern was, would the Republican parties, not just on a national level, but on the state levels, would they basically throw out a political result, an election result, just to install Trump? Today, Arizona, they verified their election results. Did Wisconsin do it yet? I know they were going to plan on doing it today.
I don't think quite yet. No, yeah, that is today.
They're supposed to do that today. I want to say I was wrong, that indeed enough Republicans at the state level said, no, I can't overrule the will of the people, the will of an election, and install you as the president of the United States. I am not going to do that. I was wrong. I didn't think they would find their spine, but when pressed and put into that position where they basically had to, you know, throw out millions of votes, their own local voters, and install Trump, they decided, you know what? I'm going to let democracy live. And so I will give you credit. I didn't think you would. You did. It's not a lot of credit because, let's face it, we're at the rock bottom here. But I'll give you some credit. 952-946-6205. Gary, hold on. I'll get your call after the break. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Sound I made after having seconds on Thanksgiving, that's for sure. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Hey, I want to remind everybody, if you've been listening to the radio here, we have got a really cool idea. Now, of course, we have been having the membership go through this year. We have been very grateful for all the members. We wanted to kind of entice people to become members and give you a little bit something back this holiday season. If you become a new member with either a $25 one-time donation or a $10 recurring donation, myself, Brett, Robert Pilot will read special messages from you on the air this holiday season, which is, we'd love to do that. It's a fun part of the holidays. Can we get some, if I'm going to do it during the show, can we get some, you know, jingle bells or holiday music I can put behind me while I read it?
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a plan.
I love that idea. We'll make a special segment of that. We'll do that. That'd be fun. So that's, once again, if you become a new member, either a $25 one-time donation or a $10 recurring one, you can get a message right over the air this holiday season. For new members who do a $25 donation, do a monthly $25 donation, a monthly $25 donation, or a brand new one-time $50 donation, we are going to send you the brand new AM950 calendar for 2021. Feature important dates for AM950 Progressive Political History. Also, and I am just tickled pink about this, you know all those photos I've been taking on these hikes I've been doing during our pandemic year? I've taken some good ones, and we are actually going to feature those in the calendar. And so you'll see some of the photos I have taken throughout the entire metro area, East Metro, West Metro. Great shots. I've been very proud of that. You're going to have that as well. A fine addition to anyone's wall. There, prisoners, if you're in jail, let me tell you about the views you can have with this calendar. But for everyone else, it will brighten up any room. Go to am950radio.com, click on the membership area, find out how you can get the calendar, how you can get the message read on the air, and we look forward to, you know, staying on the air through the 2021. As we go, once again, it's a tough time, and so thank you very much. We appreciate what all the members are doing. 952-946-6205. Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gary.
I'd like to talk about two things. First of all, there's many Chicanos, they call themselves, that they don't equate themselves as the newer immigrants, and they got money a lot, landowners. They were here 200 years before we were here, so they've always been more conservative. They got money like the white ones with money. But anyways, and then some...
Well, Gary, I want to stop you. I want to stop you there, okay? A lot of Trump's support within the Latino community and Latinx community, it comes from three specific groups. The Cuban Americans, who have been very much pro and are very proud of the fact that they helped flip Florida towards Republicans. And in Texas and Arizona... And in Texas and Arizona, where it's a very different mentality there, in, as far as politics go, they have higher numbers. But it's not something you see in Seattle or New York or Boston. You don't see a tremendous amount of Latino support for Republicans in these communities, where you get away from, as you say, more of an established area, but also, once again, unique circumstances which give people, you know, they're it's more layered on why you vote, in, you know, as opposed to, you know, kind of in the sense being in the North Metro, in the northern states, where basically they just see Republicans, you know, doing this race baiting a lot of the time. They it's a much more nuanced argument you get in the South. And once again, it's just you get more people who are have been there longer, but as once again, they have a much more, you know, there's a different mentality, Texas, Arizona, Florida. So, I mean, I think before we kind of look around and say the whole country as a whole has changed, it's not. And it's just that, you know, Trump, they spent a lot of money to try to appeal to Latinos, and they still only got 40%. That should tell you everything right there. Do we still have Gary?
No.
No. Nope. Gary's gone. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate the phone call. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I mean, it's when you look at representing the minority community. I mean, when I bring up the black community primarily here in Minneapolis, it's because the biggest problems we seem to have are the systemic problems which affect the black community, namely African Americans getting shot by police and unjustifiably, and the fact that there hasn't been the economic development or the development for the schools that, you know, has happened in other communities. But it's not just that one minority group: the Native Americans, Latinos, the Asian Americans, the Southeast Asian Americans, the East African population, the GLBTQ community. I mean, there's a lot of minority groups that have been basically ignored by Republicans. And so, sure, Republicans try to find something that they can, hang their hat on in regards to this. The ludicrous nature of Paul Gazelka actually bragging about still losing the Latino vote. but not losing it as bad as they lost the African American vote or the Native American vote or the Asian American vote or the Southeast Asian American vote or the East African vote or the GLPTQ vote. That's not a win. You still lost. And until you guys stop with the freaking racism, and I tell you what, you Republicans, you want to learn what you're going to have to do? You need to go on out there and say, the Klan is no longer welcome into the Republican Party. The Nazis are not welcome in the Republican Party. Racism is not tolerated in the Republican Party. And if you have these mentalities, you are welcome to leave. Go. We don't want you here. And you will not say that. And the reason why is you know that's a good chunk of your base. Don't give me platitudes. Don't give me, you know, smoke and mirrors. You know, why don't you actually send Republicans into the inner city to talk with the community leaders and find out what they need, as opposed to, let me tell you what my 20 years of living nowhere near any kind of minorities has told me about minorities. Okay. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. The coronavirus update for today. 15 COVID-19 deaths were reported by Minnesota health officials on Monday, along with 5,801 new infections with the coronavirus that causes the respiratory disease. While daily numbers have been lower on Monday throughout the pandemic, the latest results suggest the COVID-19 wave in Minnesota might have peaked unless substantial viral transmission over the holiday weekend scuttled any progress. Well, it probably did. And I'm going to just say it probably did. Governor Walz is scheduled to hold a press media briefing today to talk about the trends. The numbers reported to the Minnesota Department of Health on Monday bring the state's totals to the pandemic to 3,593 deaths, 318,763 lab-confirmed infections. The state's pandemic response dashboard showed another decline in the positivity rate in diagnostic testing from 15.6% on November 10th. To 11.9% on November 21st. That's good news. Positivity rate is a key measure because it indicates changes in viral activity. Even if the infection levels continue to decline, Minnesota health officials have warned the number of COVID-19 hospitalizations and deaths could remain high for a while. The state on Monday reported 392 people with COVID-19 were admitted to intensive care beds in Minnesota hospitals, up from 366 one week ago and 197 on November 1st. Only 714 ICU beds were filled with non-COVID patients, due in part to Minnesota hospitals delaying the non-surgical surgeries to preserve bed capacity. The pandemic dashboard was revised Monday with new data assessing the state's hospital capacity. So there's some, you know, it's Monday. It's supposed to be a lighter day. But, you know, I want to make sure we understand something. 15 deaths and 5,801 new cases, that's not lighter. those would have been the worst day we had for many months. And so, you know, I understand it's better than it was, but we are a long way away from being done with this. In other news about this national nightmare, the Gopher game against Northwestern set for Saturday is now a no-go. The football team will miss a second consecutive game while dealing with COVID-19 outbreak that has affected 47 players and staff, per an athletic department announcement. That's the largest spread in the Big Ten so far. It's interesting. The university has not had that many problems. The university itself has not had that many problems, but the football team has been annihilated over there by this. 21 players, 26 staff have tested positive since November 19th. It's the Gophers' second no contest after canceling the Wisconsin rivalry match from this last weekend. Left on the schedule, December 12th trip to Nebraska, and then to be determined, ninth game, December 19th, planned as an East Division matchup based on the standings. The Gophers missed 22 players from a combination of COVID-19 and injuries for the November 20th Purdue game. They, of course, had to cancel the Wisconsin game. And the reality is that, you know, as we say this, I guarantee there are people going, where are these namby-pambies? You're not going to let them play football. It's just, what are you going to do? It's you have idiots out there that think that they should be forced to go out and play. Gophers women basketball team will open a season Wednesday against Eastern Illinois with a roster that has 7 players. Wait, it was this Hoosier. Hoosiers had 8, though, didn't they? In the movie Hoosiers, he had 8.
They had like the ball boy manager who kind of counted as a player. So
it was, they had 8. They've got 7. They're going with less than Hoosiers had. Oh.
But I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, the Gopher men's basketball team almost lost to a 3-player team. They were playing like Alabama or something.
Oh, there was a four. Bench. Was it a three or four?
I remember it was that. Three. Yeah.
Good news, Coach Lindsey Whalen expects to have her full roster available, perhaps argumentatively by the addition of forward center Kayla Mershon, a transfer from Nebraska who has applied for a waiver to be eligible this season. By the time the Big Ten season starts on December 9th, to Michigan State, but then Whalen will have to make do with a skeleton crew for two non-conference games, including Sunday game with Drake. Seven players. Wow. Let's go Jan. Let's get a Jan on in before the break. Jan in St. Paul, welcome on in.
Hi, Matt. How are you doing? Happy late Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving yourself.
I had a really quiet one.
Okay.
Really quiet. I was hoping to watch football, but apparently the Ravens can't get their crap together. So.
Well, and let's face it, the Detroit and Dallas games weren't football either.
Oh, my God. And then poor Denver.
I watched Lord of the Rings.
So what I'm calling about, and this might help some of your listeners, it's actually a nice piece of information. I have a friend that the day after Halloween, she started feeling like crap. Mm-hmm. So she called her doctor, and they said, well, come on in. We'll get you a test. She had a test came back negative, but her symptoms kept increasing to the point of loss. She still hasn't regained all of her sense of taste or smell, and this is almost a month later. The thing is when her symptoms kept increasing, she called her doctor back and said, well, do I need to get retested? And they said, no, you tested negative. You don't need to get another test. She finally, after 2 weeks of feeling absolutely awful, went and got a test at a different location and tested positive. Mm-hmm. And she's just now, after almost a month, coming back to work. She still can't smell or taste anything. Mm. She's still extremely tired. So if you have a negative test, and she did quarantine, she's really lucky the rest of her family didn't come down with it. But if you have a negative test and you're still feeling symptoms, get yourself tested again somehow. There's enough free places to get these tests done. We need these accurate case counts.
Actually, and Jan, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. All my best to your coworker there. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. If you've got a negative test, because that actually happened to someone on a friend's, it was a school soccer team. The kid was sick, and everyone knew he was sick, but he went and got tested, and it came back negative. And they're like, okay, no, this has got to be coronavirus. Because it was all the symptoms of coronavirus. Well, they immediately went out the next day and got another test, and that test was positive. So, yeah, if you clearly have another – if you got the symptoms, and I don't care if you had a test that said you were negative, get tested again. And if you have a medical professional who, when you're expressing this concern, is saying, no need to worry about it. You need to worry about it, especially considering the contagious nature of it. I'm a little shocked that the medical professional there didn't immediately tell her to go get another test somewhere. I'm kind of surprised by that, but yeah. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. I got a story out of Duluth I got to share with you before I end. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I know when to go out.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Okay, I got to read this to you. This is from Bring Me the News. A Duluth police officer has been charged over the shooting of a man in the back in September. Tyler Liebfried, I think that's how you say it. It's Liebfried, Liebfried. I think that's it. 28 of Hermantown, a five-year veteran of the Duluth Police Department, is charged with two felonies, intentional discharge of a firearm that endangers safety of another, and reckless discharge of a firearm in the municipality of St. Louis County Attorney's Office, by the St. Louis County Attorney's Office. That was who filed the charges. Tyler Liebfried's conduct fails the objective reasonable offered standard that it was not an objectively reasonable use of deadly force, the St. Louis County Attorney said in a statement. According to the criminal complaint, Liebfried on September 12th, responded to a possible physical domestic assault at Kingsley Heights Apartments in Duluth. When he arrived, he encountered a woman who said she had gotten into an argument with her boyfriend, Jared File, F-Y-L-E, in an apartment 301. I love when they, here's this address, it was 301 was the apartment where they had the trouble at there. But apartment 301. She wanted an escort into the apartment to get her belongings, the charges state. She emphasized she wasn't assaulted and wasn't hurt. Another officer, Corey Lindsholm, L-I-N-D-S-H-O-L-M, Lindsholm, arrived and they determined there wasn't a probable cause for an arrest, but they could treat it as a civil matter and assist the girlfriend with getting her belongings, the complaint says. With her body cameras recording, the officers made their way to apartment 301. When Liebfried was about to knock on the door, they heard two loud noises described as a bang or firearm report from the inside, charges say. Neither officer had announced themselves, okay? So they heard a loud noise, which might have been a firearm, but they didn't know, on the other side of a door. Liebfried radioed, "Shots fired," fired four rounds from his duty pistol into the doorway, charges state. And then a second lady heard a voice yell, "Stop, stop, stop," and "Stop, please, stop." Ow! Liebfried didn't respond, but then fired two more shots. The voice from inside the apartment then yelled, "Stop, stop, please stop. I've been shot. Please stop. Open the door," charges say. Liebfried stopped firing and radioed for medical. On body camera footage, Officer Lindsholm can be heard saying, "Tyler, Tyler, where are you at? Get back here." I think this kind of the implication is the Liebfried shot and then kind of took off. Lindsholm didn't fire any shots. So one of the officers didn't fire a shot. The other guy put six rounds, including two after the guy had said, "Stop, stop, I've been shot." Additional backup officers responded to the scene who instructed File to come out of the apartment. They learned File suffered a bullet wound to the back and was bleeding, the complaint says. He was brought to the hospital. Inside the apartment, there was no evidence of anyone but Liebfried fired a weapon, the complaint says. In an interview with the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, File said about 20 minutes after his girlfriend left, he went to lock the door, kicking it to make sure it was closed, charges state. When he turned to walk away, he heard someone yell, "Shots fired," then gunshots came through the door, hitting him. On September 15th, Liebfried spoke with the BCA investigator, saying his intent was to go into the apartment, speak to File, and retrieve some of the girlfriend's belongings. Lindsholm told BCA investigators he didn't fire his gun because, "I don't know for sure where the shots came from, so I wasn't about to start putting rounds into his apartment just on a guess." Okay, Lindsholm, you know, in this day and age, Lindsholm deserves a lot of credit for not opening fire into a closed door and possibly shooting someone who didn't fire a gun. But yeah, you got to throw the book at Liebfried. You got to throw the book at this guy. I mean, the guy says, "Stop, stop, stop. I've been, ow," and he shoots two more times. Come on. Dear Lord, we need to fix this. We're back tomorrow. Have a good one. Until then.